Welcome back, WNST, Towson and Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're going to positively celebrating the holidays. I did a whole segment on gratitude with Bill Cole, even though he was sick as a dog last week at State Fair. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. We've had such a great month. I found that I was related to John Shields at Gertrude's 2 weeks ago. I had a vegan crab cake, hung out with Dan Rodericks. I gave him sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's true. What else happened here? Oh, we're going to be at Foreign Daughter on Friday giving away these. Unwrap the cash and the scented tickets as well. The gingerbread O-snaps and the peppermint payout multipliers as well. Our friends at Window Nation coming together. I'll have the fun floppy hat, 866-90-NATION, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube Multicare. Putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. I have a surprise crab cake on Friday, a traveling crab cake, and some great stories to tell. Gina Shock, my rock and roll Hall of Fame pal, who bought me a beverage for my birthday, my 55th birthday over at Drug City. You know, you can gift cannabis during the holidays now. We're both grown-ups. I'm not saying I'm going to give – I'm going to give Gina some balm, you know, because she's getting a little older. Make sure she can play the drums the right way. So that's going to be my rub with her on Friday. So come on out. Celebrate the holidays. We're going to be at Far and Daughter, just south of Timonium Road on York Road between 2 and 5 on Friday. Luke Jones joins us now to talk about – the power and the glory of the 10-3 Baltimore Ravens. You go back on the road now. Jacksonville this week. San Francisco on Christmas night. You'll have no problem finding it. It's nationally televised. Boy, the lights are bright, Luke. And I say, you know, we talked Tylan Wallace, and you know of my fondness for Roquan Smith from afar, and Kyle Hamilton's injury and the impact. But Lamar's the star, and he's the Superman. He did not win the game on Sunday. He did lead a comeback. They weren't great in overtime. But I'll tell you this on him, and you know I've been the detractor of Lamar because he's won one playoff game in 5 years, and he's got $260 million. And his time is coming, right? His time is coming in the same way that we hope it comes from the Orioles in another October, in the way that Cal Ripken, you know, it didn't come again in the way for him. But for Lamar, there's going to be games in January, hopefully full health. But, man, these next four games, the lights are out. You're 10-3. You better not wake up with leftovers on December 26th, 10-5, right? And these are the moments for Lamar. Kylan Wallace had his moment. Lamar's had moments. I mean, we can go through the Cleveland game. We can go through big wins, ankle breakers, and all of that stuff. But I like Lamar's game much, much better now than I did before. Not just because they're 10-3. I like what I see. I like seeing him step up into the pocket. I like seeing him keeping his eyes down the field, glued down the field in a way that I don't think he was coached that way with Roman. I like what the broadcasters, I don't like being on the other side of watching games. I didn't mind not being in the rain, no offense on Sunday, but I learned things from the broadcasters, and it's very clear when he sits down with these broadcasters on Saturday that he has told all of them how much power he has in the offense to change plays, to get himself out of things, to put himself in a good situation. He's doing a great job. I mean, I don't know who else the MVP candidate will be if somehow they go 14-3, but he's really impressing me. And even when he doesn't win the game, he's impressing me with the fact that he's evolving as a quarterback.
Well, I mean, I think you just look at Sunday in very simplistic terms. December, rain. Had to throw the ball 40-plus times. Rest of the running game was, you know, Keaton Mitchell had his moments, but wasn't, you know, it wasn't as though Mitchell and Edwards had this massive day on the ground. They won the football game. He had over 300 yards passing, throwing it 40-plus times. He had three touchdowns. He still scrambled and ran for 70 yards. So that's still part of his game and will continue to be. And I think that's going to be a bigger part of his game the rest of the way, quite frankly. And I even opined about that at BaltimorePositive.com. He played at an MVP level. It wasn't perfect. Matthew Stafford wasn't perfect on the other side, but this was two top shelf quarterbacks going toe for toe. And it was more than that. I mean, we mentioned Tylan Wallace. We mentioned other plays that were made over the course of this game on either side, or other plays that weren't made on either side.
Lamar was errant. I mean, it wasn't a great day. He wasn't accurate. All the things when he overthrows or underthrows or the ball sails, He hit guys when he needed to hit them, and he made them pay for having a breakdown on the backside twice. Made
Absolutely.
him
And
really pay.
Odell Beckham even said on his touchdown that he ran the wrong route. So there was a case where it looked like Lamar didn't throw a great ball there. And I'm not saying it was a perfect, would have been a perfect pass anyway, but Beckham said, hey, I didn't run that the right way. And he had to adjust. And he did. They made the play. That when you have a receiver that wide open, the idea is not to throw a perfect ball. The idea there is to throw it up in the air and let your receiver go make the play, because as long as it's not out of bounds, or as long as it's not 20 yards over his head, it doesn't have to be perfect. And we saw this with Joe Flacco over the years as well. When it was a wide open receiver downfield, you don't have to hit him perfectly in stride. Just hit him. Make sure you connect. And Lamar did that more often than not on Sunday, especially on the big breakdowns that the Rams had on the Likely and Beckham touchdowns. So you're right, it wasn't perfect, but he played at a very high level when it mattered most late in regulation. And I get it. Both teams went three and out in overtime. So anything you'd say about Lamar in overtime, you'd say the same thing about Matthew Stafford and the Rams, right? I mean, it's football. You're not going to score a touchdown on every single drive. But when they were trailing late in the game, Lamar was what, 7 of 10? He had a nice scramble mixed in there, but he threw the football and he made plays. And my goodness, the connection to Zay Flowers for the touchdown on third and long. I mean, what more do you want in that situation? I mean, that's the kind of play that people have wondered, critics have wondered, can Lamar Jackson do that when it's the kind of game where the ball's in his hands in the pocket? And he was able to do it on Sunday. And I get it. It's the Rams aren't this juggernaut, but they have played good football over the last month. And they are a team that has some moxie in terms of they're 2 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. So it's not as though that they were facing scrubs on Sunday either. It's 6-7. I know it's not a tremendous record, but they made plays when they needed to late in the game, and they overcame some mistakes. And Lamar had some errant throws here and there, but that's going to happen. I don't expect, whether we're talking about the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Dolphins, if you're talking about San Francisco and Dallas, who are really looking like the top of the top of the class in the NFC, these aren't teams that are devoid of mistakes. They make mistakes, but what do you do to overcome those mistakes? What do you do to make up for those mistakes? And Lamar Jackson did a heck of a lot, and they did a lot throwing the football in less than ideal conditions. Although I will say it seemed like they got a decent break with the rain. It started pouring about half an hour after the game ended, as I was leaving the stadium. But
Well, the Linderbaum snap was also, indicative of the weather. That was a weather-related, weird-related thing that might have cost them the game, right? I mean, they might have won them the game, the 2 points to get to overtime, right?
I mean, and that's, to me, that was what was so encouraging and what I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com. I mean, Nestor, this was the kind of game that it feels like they've lo too often lost the last couple of years,
Make
and it's not
mistakes
as,
and it cost you, right? And this time it didn't.
right. And I mean, we've talked about their losses being games that they shouldn't have won, or that they shouldn't have lost. Yeah, this one almost feels like the opposite. You feel like, because of what you mentioned, whether you're talking about the safety or some, questionable coaching decision, strategy, whatever, Lamar, threw a pick, whatever you want to pick apart, the defense playing its worst game of the year. This is the kind of game that you could have said the opposite. Maybe this is a game they should have lost, if we're being honest, and they found a way to win. So, made up for some of those losses the last couple of years where you say, how the heck did they lose that football game? So you need that. You're not going to play perfect football every week. As much as the defense had come close to doing that, I mean, whether I've been talking to you or Dennis, in recent weeks, I've said, this defense has shown up every week, save for a couple quarters here and there. Well, Sunday, for the most part, it didn't show up. Didn't show up in the first half, was good in the third quarter, and then late in the fourth quarter again had some breakdowns. So that's going to happen. So, but the key is when that happens, when you have one phase of the game not play as well, you need the other phases to step up. And we talked about that with Tylan Wallace and the special teams and overtime, and certainly Lamar Jackson and this passing game emerged. And for me, we talked about this so much before the bye. We talked about this during the bye week. No Mark Andrews. Look at what they got from Zay Flowers, what they got from Odell Beckham, who over the last month, he's playing more like a $15 million wide receiver over the last month. And I get it. I get it. It's a month. He's got to stay healthy, all those things, but he's producing and he's more explosive now. And Isaiah Likely stepping up as we thought he would, except just not having the expectation that he's going to be Mark Andrews, which would be unfair. So you had three, Lamar Jackson had three reliable receivers to target on Sunday. And we've kind of talked about that. We talked about that even before the Andrews injury, when he had Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews. What were we saying over and over? They need a third guy to emerge. Well, the formula that we saw on Sunday was three guys that were very productive for them. Whether we're talking about catching touchdowns or converting big third downs, whatever it might be. So, I was very encouraged by that. Hey, they've got to keep doing it. They need to be more consistent. They certainly need their defense to rebound as they're going to Jacksonville and they're playing San Francisco and a big Week 17 game with Miami looming, as these are the two best teams in the conference record-wise at this point in time. So they've got to keep going. But I still, one of my takeaways from the post game was a quote from Odell Beckham, who was kind of asked, about the fact that he was playing his old team, asked about the style of this win and what it can do for a football team. And, he said, experience is always the greatest teacher. I think the experience that this team gained on Sunday, while it wasn't a playoff game, I get that. But the way in which they had to win, I think this was something they can draw from for some confidence if they're faced with a similar situation, whether we're talking next week against San Francisco, against Miami, or more importantly, talking about next month and beyond. So from that standpoint, that's where I think this win carried a little extra value beyond just improving themselves to 10-3.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He will be out in Owings Mills all week long. We're going to be talking some Orioles baseball here on the backside of the Kimbrel signing. All that up at Baltimore Positive. Obviously doing a Maryland Crab Cake tour this Friday at Farr and Daughter in Timonium with Gina Schock and some friends and a mystery crab cake that I'm excited about. Also on Monday afternoon, we're going to be at Wise Markets on Honey Go with Derek Frazier, former professional wrestler. And I also got some other guests coming out to Honey Go and Wise. It's the holidays. We're going to talk eggnog. We're going to talk crab cakes. They make these little stuffed crab ball shrimp things at Wise, I love. So we're going to get out and do that. And we're also going to be at Fadley's right after Christmas. Big thank you to Damie and everybody. I had two Fadley's crab cakes during the game on Sunday, one during the second quarter and then one during the third quarter because I just felt like halftime I'm making another because it was delicious. So big thank you to Damie and everybody there. We're back there on the 28th of December. Luke, the Lamar thing, I want to stay on Lamar because we'll get to Harbaugh. We'll get to Roquan. We'll get to Jacksonville and the rest of the AFC and what happened with Trevor Lawrence and Browning and Joe Flacco, who sends his regards, by the way. He and I exchanged some pleasantries after the game on Sunday night. It always includes profanity from one of us. That's what I love about Joe. So Lamar, for me, what Lamar's doing a lot of things I like, and they all get pointed out by all of the Jason Garretts and post games and all the people who would have wanted him, would have wanted to coach him, would have been honest about inaccurate. Maybe we can make that better. You didn't have to be dishonest about his athleticism or his ability to win or even his ability to throw, as you've pointed out, and the Heisman trophy, like all of that stuff that was baked into 31 other teams not wanting him once and then not wanting him again last offseason after they all chased Deshaun Watson and watched Joe Flacco win a playoff game for the Browns. So, Lamar, interesting for me that this offense and we're 13 games into this, really, 6 months into a new system for him and Monken and all the money and all that stuff aside, just going out and playing football, his game's different, man. And his eyes are different. And the way he's playing the game is different. And at some point, somebody has pulled him up and said, dude, if you keep your eyes down the field and you have good receivers, some Odell Beckham, Zay Flowers, somebody's going to break open. Andrews, when they had him, and you'll be able to get rid of the ball. You don't get killed. Stay away from trouble. Run when you have to, when you need to, not when it's just let's do that. And this 40 passes and 50 passes and thoughts that they can win, that they're going to have to do that against San Francisco and Miami, I guess, because it's not going to be an 8-possession game with defense. I just don't see it that way. I think they're going to need to be productive in the air, and their running game's not good enough. I don't think their running game is good enough to play the way maybe they wanted to play with J.K. I think this has been much like any championship year or one seed year or peaks and valleys, and the Bills seem like they've turned it back on again. And I don't know that I'd be excited about the Bills coming to town. I mean, they're going to have to beat good teams to get to the Super Bowl, where that's where we are. Even a Joe Flacco team that would come in here, that's a good team. That's a good defense. That's a guy that throws the ball maybe better than the guy we have throws the ball, just throwing the ball. But for me, with Lamar, I've come a long way on seeing him do this stuff, like get out of the pocket, buy time, move left without darting forward, knowing where he's not going to get creamed because he's got a sideline on one side and he's got converging guys and he can step out of bounds. He can dirt the ball. He makes great decisions. He makes better decisions than his head coach does under pressure.
I mean, first of all, you mentioned something about the run. They have the best running game in the NFL now. And that's DVOA. That's rushing yards per game. I mean, go down the
list.
Can
they run the ball when they want to run the ball? They couldn't in overtime.
Well, then no one can. And then I think your point that I would agree with is you're not winning a Super Bowl that way in 2023 solely, right? I mean, running game can be – and look,
my point is if they're up 23-14 with 9 minutes left to go at home against the Browns, against a good defense, can they – put together a 7-minute maul. They did this against crappy teams earlier in the year. Can they do this in the playoffs? Can they maul a team with a 9-point lead by grinding the ball the way they were designed, the way they were drafted, the way Gus Edwards – can Gus Edwards be that guy on January 20 and mow down a team? I don't believe in that. I believe more in Lamar dinking and dunking at this point and going in the phone booth and being a guy you can't get to the ground and having wide receivers that somebody's going to get open and he's going to have his head up to see it and be able to deliver the ball.
Fair
That's
enough.
A lot. That's a lot. December 10th right now, I'm a believer. I'm a believer that he can do that, but I'm not a believer that they can grind out the way they want to, which is maul you, get a lead, and then take the air out of the football and the clock. And I don't know that they can do that against a great defense, a playoff defense.
Well, I mean, it remains to be seen. I mean, it's always been about Lamar. It's always been about Lamar. I mean, that hasn't changed. Now, has his game evolved, become more refined from a passing standpoint? And I think – you know, an easy litmus test is looking at the box score of this game without seeing what the final score is. If you just look at the pass attempts 3 years ago, 4 years ago, if he's up 40 plus passing attempts, that's probably not an offense that's incredibly comfortable doing that. Whereas it felt like Sunday, they felt pretty comfortable being able to play that way. Now, let's be clear here. Their passing game has been inconsistent this year. And if you look at it in terms of efficiency, it's been much more middle of the pack than elite overall. But what we saw on Sunday in a game that evolved into a shootout, despite the fact that we thought, you know, people were betting the under and thinking this was going to be a 17-13 game, knowing what the forecast was. And obviously Matthew Stafford and Lamar Jackson both had other ideas about that. But
I lost a lot of money on that under bet, dog.
Yeah, sure, sure. So, that's the NFL. The point is you have to be able to play different ways. And they've also, I mean, they've run the ball really well this year. And your point is well taken, but statistically, I'm not sure that supports what you just said there. And look, styles make fights and matchup, you know, it's all about matchups and week to week in the playoffs. And I've been the guy who said for 4 or 5 years now that, you know, the Greg Roman style of offense is not something that's going to lead you to a Super Bowl. You have to be able to be more productive through the air. And certainly they've been able to do that. On Sunday, they were able to do that. And they've been able to do that at a high level at other times this year. Other games, like the Chargers game 2 weeks ago, when Lamar had a season low in yards per pass attempt, Not so much the case. So again, they're still chasing consistency in that way, and it's a week-to-week league in that way. But, as much as you talk about Lamar playing from the pocket, there were still some critical times on Sunday when he took off and he had 70 rushing yards and he had some scrambles. And, we've talked about this. We debated this a couple weeks back where, they're not using as many designed runs for Lamar Jackson, but he's still scrambling and he's still taking off when there's nothing there. And, I don't want this to become something where he just plays from the pocket, because if that's all he's doing and he's not running a whole lot, then their offense isn't as good. It's not as dynamic. So you don't want to coach that out of Lamar Jackson. But yeah, you want to be selective and pick your spots. And that's going to become even more important for him as he gets older and he gets a little bit slower, as we all do as we age. So, I think what we saw Sunday was encouraging. There's no doubt about that. And I'd be remiss, as we've spent so much time talking about Jackson and the passing game, what about the performance of the offensive line with a peculiar strategy that, was kind of lost in the post game with Tylan Wallace and everything else that happened? But the Ravens rotated offensive tackles in that game. Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses, of course, started. Of course, they were on the field for, the most pivotal moments, the most critical junctures of the game. But we saw Patrick McCary cycle in with Ronnie Stanley. We saw Daniel Faalele cycle in at right tackle. You and I talked a lot about Stanley and Moses during the bye week and where they are performance-wise, where they are health-wise. So I thought it was fascinating to see that approach coming out of the bye week when hypothetically they should be as rested as they're going to be the rest of the year. So are we going to continue to see that? Is that going to be something that the Ravens are going to play around with a little bit in the same way that, well, you rotate your pass rushers, right? You rotate your defensive linemen. So is there something to be said about giving your left tackle or your right tackle, who are veteran players battling through injuries this year, giving them a series here and there to let them freshen up, so to speak?
Well, especially
So
to
I
be
thought
ready
that
for the fourth quarter to some degree,
yeah,
right? Like
sure.
in
I
the
mean,
same way that Harbaugh gives them, senior time off during the week and Fridays off and all of that kind of stuff. Hey, dude, take the third quarter off. We're up 10 points.
well, right. And I mean, it's
The
and
games
it's
that
not
it feels like that's going to be like these are the tough these next 4 weeks. They don't have any patsies in here to say let's take a series off. But you get ahead, I think you play a little differently if you get ahead.
well, but they didn't play ahead on Sunday, and they still did it. So again, to me, I thought that was so interesting to see. And how about the fact that the Ravens did what they did against Aaron Donald, who, I mean, they threw the kitchen sink at him in terms of double teams and all kinds of
Triple
different ways.
teams.
Yeah.
Every time you get triple teamed, they'd show it on TV, and you're like, wow, that's six hands.
But how many times did we see Jackson in the pocket? At times, I mean, counting the five or six, I mean, the protection overall was very good. And there were even some times where Lamar couldn't find anyone downfield, or maybe there was someone open and, the call was, he's looking at a different portion of the field and then ultimately took off and did what Lamar Jackson does with his legs, which is still magic, no matter if you want it to, be a little bit less than it was in the past. So, I think from that standpoint, that was encouraging to see. Again, it's week to week. We've seen this offense play at a very high level, as they did against Detroit, as they did against Seattle, for example, and then have other games where it doesn't look as good. I think, and this even ties into how they approached the end of the first half with that 2-minute drill that looked, that started so encouraging and then bogged down. I think they're still, Todd Monken and this coaching staff still gets caught in between in terms of what exactly they want to be on offense. I think their identity is still, we just argued about their identity. You were saying their running game isn't that good, while I pointed out that they have the most efficient, productive running game in the NFL. So they're clearly doing something right on that front. But the fact that, the eyeball test looks different to people, it kind of shows you that, what exactly are they trying to be on offense? John Harbaugh 4 years ago, what were they known for? Going for it on fourth down constantly. They've been much more conservative in that regard this year than they were 4 years ago, big time. And I think the defense playing at the level they have all season, not Sunday, obviously, but overall, has played a part in that. But
And they
the
can't
point.
get a yard when they want a yard, dude. That's what I'm telling you. That's my point on the running game. They can't get a yard when it's
Then how are
fourth
they
and
number one in
one.
the league, though, is what my point. I hear you on that. And look, they haven't been as good in short yardage as they were 4 years ago or 3 years ago. I agree with that. But at the same time, it's still a very explosive running game that is still going to be a big part and has been a big part of why they win football games. But you're saying that lends itself to the point I'm making that offensively, they're still searching for their identity. But in the meantime, they've still been very productive overall. I mean, you go into Sunday's game, I think they ranked seventh in the league in points per game. I mean, you can say all you want about your identity and, you need to be better, you need to be more consistent. This has still been a top 10 offense, even with some of those questions about situational football or, I mean, we talked so much about their red zone struggles earlier in the year. They tied for third in the league in red zone going into Sunday's game. So, I mean, it really is a beauty is in the eye of the beholder of this offense right now in terms of what exactly they are right now, what exactly they're going to be come January. But again, the way that they were able to win a game on Sunday where the defense, which has been their biggest strength, was not on Sunday and it was rainy and, they made mistakes, like the errant snap, whatever, go through the shortcomings. They found a way and they found a way and they threw the ball 40 plus times, which is something they supposedly couldn't do and they couldn't do in the past at a high level. They did it. And that's a credit to Lamar Jackson. It's a credit to Todd Monken, credit to the O-line, and a credit to these receivers making plays as well. So wasn't perfect. And there are going to be plenty of things that they have to clean up this week as they get ready for a big game down in Jacksonville Sunday night. But there's a lot to like about this offense. And I think what's encouraging is I think there's still some meat on the bone, still ways that they can get better between now and January.
I'm smirking at you because I'm thinking like they would have been better with Derrick Henry. You know what I mean? But in that fourth and one type of environment that they're going to find themselves in January, whether it's the Browns, the Bills, you put the Bengals in. You shoveled dirt on the Bengals 2 weeks ago here. But I don't know
Who
who's going to
didn't?
be.
Who didn't, though? It's Jake Browning. Come on. I mean, credit to him. If they didn't bury themselves as much as they did the first half of the season, they'd be way more intriguing, like legitimately intriguing right now. But yeah, hats off to him. It's been a nice story, no doubt.
You know what? We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the other teams in the AFC. We'll talk about the Ravens defense. We'll talk about Trevor Lawrence. We'll talk about Brock Purdy, who just, I like, we'll talk about him next week. It'll be Christmas week. Some people will be asleep and whatnot. We'll be at Wise Markets next Monday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm going to be giving away the peppermint payout multipliers. They smell like peppermint, but they get overwhelmed by the gingerbread of the oh snaps, I must say. Why do the $1 tickets smell stronger than the $3? I got to talk to John Martin about that this week. I think Seth's coming on. Unwrap the cash as well. We're going to be at Farr and Daughter. They give me this I'm a blunt person shirt. I'm very appreciative of that. We're talking about cannabis gift giving during the holidays. It's crazy this week, but it's first time ever, adult use. Please do it responsibly. So also with the scratch-offs, don't give these to kids. That's also, I have to give all of these disclaimers out here because people do wacky stuff. But on Friday, we're going to be over Farr and Daughter. Gina Shock, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, is going to be joining us. I have a mystery crab cake for our show over at Farr and Daughter, and I'm going to be giving away some lottery tickets. So please stop by. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation, remind you it's 0% financing for 5 years. And also, then need a reminder that it was snowing the other day. The weather's getting here. If you've been 4 decades like I was with windows, make that call 866-90-NATION. I need some doors, so I'm on the phone with them. Also, our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. My little orange light came on. I took it over to the Jiffy Lube in Merritt Boulevard. All set. Got an air filter. The whole deal. They take good care of you. Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road. Luke is on the road to Owings Mills this week. The Ravens are on the road to Jacksonville this week. Then San Francisco. Lots of national TV. Lots of hubbub and hullabaloo about a 10-3 team and a number one seed in the AFC. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all through the holidays. It has been a beautiful holiday. We did a segment on gratitude with Bill Cole. I hope you're checking that out. And lots of really good stuff on the stadium situation, Camden Yards. We're following all of that. You can find it all at BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.